Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Hey, what's up? Welcome to session 42 of the Selling the Couch podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. So I totally forgot, but last week, actually the 10th of this past month, was the 6 month anniversary of the Selling the Couch podcast. Thank you so much. To be honest, I'm speechless. It's unbelievable to see where the podcast has grown, and just from that very first session, having something like 10 downloads on the first day and then 40 on the second day, and just to see it continue to grow. I'm just so grateful, humbled and grateful for each of you for taking the time to even listen to this podcast, to share it with our colleagues. I'm just wanted to say thank you before we get to today's session. Today's session is actually with a licensed marriage and family therapist who has a passion for creating video for therapists. His name is Ernesto Segismundo, and his website is filmit.com. And Ernesto is such a master at creating video for your private practice website. And he teaches clinicians the power of video and how you can really create video that captures the attention of potential clients. In today's session of Selling the Couch, we will talk about the advantages of having some kind of video on your private practice website, both as a marketing or relationship medium, but also why it's really important to have one for search engine rankings. And then we talk about some of the really practical things, the tools that it takes to create some awesome video. I think you're going to be really surprised at how inexpensive it is and what we can do and what we're capable of in this day and age with so much technology in front of us. And then we talk about this aspect, which I think is so common for us as clinicians. I know this is something that I struggle with, which is how to overcome that fear of being in front of the camera and how to be authentic without making it feel like, oh my gosh, I'm talking right into a camera and I don't know what I'm going to say. So here is my conversation with Ernesto Segismundo from filmit.com. Ernesto, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hey, Melvin.
I've been looking forward to our conversation for a while, and I know you have so much knowledge when it comes to video, so really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about was, so we all know that as private practitioners, it's good to have a website. You can write content and things on there. But what is it about video that communicates something? Like, I feel like video communicates something differently than just typing out something on a website. What do you think that is?
You know, that is an awesome question. When I went to a workshop a few years ago about video marketing, I was just floored about some of the information that I've gotten. So we know as psychologists that we have to engage people on so many levels, intellectually, visually, from audio, And video actually crosses that bridge to engage the audience in those multifacets level. So when you are looking at someone, you want to hear them and you want to experience them. And so when I create my promotional videos or any video blogs, I want to give the person not just a viewer experience, but a general experience of what I am talking about as far as my message. One of the things that I think video can do a lot better than any other mediums is to create inspiration through visual means. So just to answer your question, videos can actually engage the audience in a much more dynamic way from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. It's really tapping into whatever the strength of the person is, whether they're more audio, video, right. You're not like blocking out one of those.
Right, absolutely. And you know, some of the statistics that I've had for your audience is that when I did my research on video marketing and the power of videos, in fact, 70% of marketing professionals report that videos convert better than any mediums. And I think this is because of that multifaceted way of communicating and engaging your audience. There's another really surprising statistic that the average internet user spends 80% more time on a website with a video. That is phenomenal. So I think videos are really engaging the audience and your community in a much more dynamic way. And the last thing is this, 64% of consumers are more likely to buy a product after watching a video. 64%. That's huge in the context of being a marketer.
Yeah, I mean, each one of those stats, that's amazing, that high of percentage. How do you think something, like just even taking those stats, how do you think that would apply to someone that's in private practice?
There's a lot of things that private practitioners can do. So for instance, if you are specialized in EMDR, for instance, you can talk about trauma and how trauma can affect or paralyze an individual, and you can do a video blog of that. One of the things that I encourage video bloggers to do, especially if you're in private practice, is not so much to talk about your practice or yourself, right? You don't want to talk about the years of experience that you've had, but you want to talk to the audience. You want to talk to their pain. You want to talk about their needs and provide them a certain content in your video. I've seen a lot of videos out there that talk too much about themselves, but I think the marketing strategy that I promote is that we need to talk to our consumers. We need to talk to our clients. That's how you engage people in a conversation. So I think this whole generation now is asking the question of what can a private practitioner or a therapist do for me, and how can they relieve my pain through their message? That is a very powerful approach when you become a marketer in the area of private practice.
Yeah, no, I like that perspective, thinking about people's pain, because I think the natural tendency for us as small business owners is to think about it from our perspective, right? And how can we get someone in the door? But I think what you're arguing is absolutely right. You have to look at it from the perspective of the consumer.
Right. So when I do my marketing workshops, one of the first things that I tell people is that you have more engagement when you engage the audience in a conversation about them. And it's more attracting to the audience in that manner. And I've known that for my own practice, that when I did a really grainy video on how to create emotional safety for teenagers, I actually increased my caseload from 10 to 28 in 2 months.
Wow.
And that's a weekly caseload. And I knew from then on that I discovered the power of video marketing just by talking to parents about how to create an emotional safety for their children. So that is one of the most powerful way to approach video marketing from that perspective as well.
Yeah, I was thinking that, so when you created that video, right, you were speaking from the perspective of someone that could understand, while at the same time stating that you're an authority, right? Because you're sharing this information that is relevant to them.
Exactly. And that is the one thing, that when you give content like that, you become automatically an authority. And there's some psychological phenomenon that happens when somebody sees you on screen, on camera, talking about a certain subject. It really, really creates an instant celebrity status, for, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, I even think about that, right? If someone has never seen you in private practice, but they've seen a video of you, right? There is that sense of connection that's already been established.
Right. And the power of social media now is the power of sharing that content and that video. And so the more people share your content, the more you solidify and brand yourself as this authority figure in that area.
I wanted to go back to that first grainy video that you created. Did you have that on your website, or did you also put it on YouTube, or how did you promote that?
Yeah, so I actually put that, it's still on my YouTube channel. I'm actually pretty embarrassed about it. Just because the sound is horrible, and you know as a podcaster, Melvin, how powerful sound can be, right? And it was echoey, there were weird transitions, I was doing hand movements that I didn't know what I was doing, but for some reason, people caught it, and so I guess I have to put it on my website to see, look, this is my evolution as a video marketer.
Yeah, I mean, we all have to start somewhere, right?
Exactly, exactly. And I think one of the things that I want to recommend with people is absolutely creating videos are so scary. When you put a camera in front of yourself for the first time, all the negative scripts in our minds just go on hyper overdrive. Video does that. And I think if we become paralyzed by that voice or that image in our mind about who we are and who we are not, we are never going to create that good, strong content video.
What are some of those common scripts that you've seen other clinicians struggle with in their minds?
Oh, wow. Things from, it has a lot to do with visual. I'm too fat. I'm too ugly. I'm too skinny. I sound horrible. What if any people are going to judge me? I'm not good enough. Why am I stumbling? I mean, it's so much, and it just goes on hyper overdrive when you put a camera in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing like being in front of a camera to bring out all of those insecurities. I wanted to ask you, given that most of us have our own insecurities and fears, like I know every time, I know like for me, when I started this podcast, like my voice, that was one of the things I felt so insecure about. But like, what tips would you give to someone to address that fear of being in front of a camera?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I think that we therapists have to listen to ourselves, and we tell our clients every day to accept who they are. I think we have to start accepting and listening to our own advice, right? Yeah. We have to accept, and I say have to in a very strong manner, have to accept all the imperfections about us. We are good enough. And I think we therapists struggle with being good enough. And so one of my recommendations and encouragement to clinicians starting off as a video marketer is to embrace the imperfection. Okay. Sometimes the things that we think are so loud in our minds, like I hate my voice, I'm guaranteeing you that the next person is not even thinking about that.
Right. We're much harder on ourselves than the average person that's actually listening to us.
Absolutely. And I think we have to make peace with ourselves and just say, you know what? Yes, I'm imperfect, but you know what? I think people, and I know for a fact that people who are watching your video will somehow connect with your imperfection. They don't like someone who is so high up. They want to be able to connect with a professional that is real, genuine, and authentic.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, you know, when I see clients and I'm terminating with them, you know, one of the questions that I'll often ask is like, what did you find the most helpful? And I often think it's like something like therapeutically I did, you know, like intervention wise, but it's often that I felt like very connected to you. And I wonder if that's the same feeling, like when people
see
your video.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you use the word connection because I really do feel that videos can create this sort of connection with people who are watching your videos, right? And in our clients, you hear that all the time where you have someone who has years and years of experience, but what the client cares about is your connection, is their connection with you in the room and the safety of the environment that you provide for your clients.
Absolutely. You know, just shifting a little bit, I know that there is this link between having a video on YouTube and then also having it on your private practice website. And more specifically, having a video on YouTube affects the rankings on your private practice website. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. There was an article that came out maybe a few months ago, and I want to give it to your audience, but videos are going to be the number one medium to help a website to get on the first page of Google. So Google cannot read or cannot scan the content of your video. But if you have a video on your website, Google actually love that. Mm-hmm. And when you have description, you know, on YouTube, there's a description section on your YouTube channel or your YouTube video. Use that whole description box to even write what the content is of your video. Google loves that. So as we all know now, YouTube and Google are married. So if you put your video content in YouTube, Google will actually look positively, especially when people are watching your videos for over 2 minutes. So the longer people watch your video, Google will go, wow, you are an authority. People like your videos. And they're actually ranking your videos higher and higher until it goes onto the first page of Google. So that's the power of videos. One of the other things that it is really important to understand is the click-through rate. When you have a video on the landing page of your website, consumers are more able to buy, not only buy your product, but it also helps with SEO with your website. So it's really important to have an introductory video on the first page of your website. And once that's there, that first landing page will end up on the first page of Google. And we all know that not very many people move past the second or third page of Google, right? Mm-hmm. We have to, as marketers, try to get our website on the first page, on the top three lines of Google.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact stats, but it's like a very like 70 or 80% don't actually go past that first page on a search engine result.
Right. And that information, that content is important for marketers to know that when you put videos, it's not just putting out content to the community, but it has another effect to it, which is putting your website on the first page of Google.
Mm. A couple of practical things. So you said the key is that someone should watch a video for 2 minutes. So I'm guessing that if you're going to create a video, it should be at least 2 minutes, right?
It should, yes. Now, here's the rule of thumb. The shorter, the better for your videos. Mm. The stronger the content, that's great. It'll carry, people love watching that. But if you notice, the videos that are shared on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter are the ones that are 30 seconds, yeah. 40 seconds, 60 seconds. Now, that's almost close to impossible, right, to create a promotional video introducing your practice within those, you know, those seconds. Right. But I would say just as long as you can create a video that's short, because unfortunately, the attention span of humans nowadays are very short.
Yeah, I heard something like 8 seconds or something. It's changed from like 12 seconds to 8 seconds in the last like 10 years. It's like, what the?
Right. But you know, the way that you can go around that, Melvin, is that you can create the strongest part of your video, the strongest content needs to be the 8 second mark. So an introductory of your video of let me give you 3 tips on how to resolve your relationship in the most dynamic way. 8 seconds. If you can say that within 8 seconds, you've grabbed the attention of your audience. So the strongest part of your video, the introductory video, needs to be at the 8 second mark.
So in essence, get to your main point and get to that hook as soon as you can on your video.
Yes. And so this is the way that I use visuals. So now I'm using visuals. I just bought a drone, and this is the best thing that ever happened to my career, I believe. Every beginning promotional videos that I create, I use an aerial shot of the ocean, of trees, of mountains, just to engage the audience visually. Once they are engaged, inspired visually, they are more likely to watch your whole video because you're like, oh my gosh, I want to see that aerial shot again.
That's really interesting. There's something that catches the eye of the person that's watching the video.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think our connection to nature is a very powerful thing that we can actually use in our videos. So when I do video blogs, I try my best to go outdoors instead of my office. I try to go to places where there are trees, where there's ocean, where there's sand, animals, you want to engage the audience of a sense of freedom. When you think outdoors, you think, ah, free. You think relaxation, right? You want to create those scenarios in your videos as well. That's a very powerful tool. And you don't need expensive cameras to pull this off. You can just use your iPhone and walking down the beach with a selfie stick and start talking about your day and self-care. That's going to be a very powerful way to engage your audience.
Yeah, speaking of which, and you just started to allude to it, so if you are on a shoestring budget and you want to start making videos for your practice website, what are some of those tools? So you said like just a smartphone, a selfie stick, which I wonder if you could explain what that is. That just sounds very interesting.
Absolutely. So I'm going to talk about the shoestring equipment. And I'm in the camp of, yes, you can hire Filmit.com to do a really professional looking video for you. However, as soon as I say that, there are some equipment out there that are so inexpensive that you can just create the perfect engagement video. So I want to split this up in three categories: sound, visual, and editing software. Okay. So let's start with sound first. Melvin, you and I know that sound is powerful. In fact, if you have perfect visuals and you have horrible sound, unfortunately, you will lose your audience. That's a guarantee. No one wants to listen to sound that is horrible. There's a lot of noise in the background. Before we started this podcast, you asked me, make sure you look around you that there's no distracting ambient noise, right? It's the same thing with videos. So some of the things that I have here, and I'll email this to you, and maybe you can give this to your audience, is to invest in a lapel mic, which is that little thing that goes on your, you know, your collar, and it connects to your cell phone or your iPad or your phone. So I have a few things here listed on Amazon. One of them is called Neewer 3.0 millimeter hand-free lapel microphone. It's $6.50. Okay. That will isolate your voice when you are recording a video from your iPhone, your Android, your computer, or iPad. $6.50.
Yeah, I mean, well worth the cost, right? For what the potential?
Here's a little bit more higher up in price. It's the Deluxe Lavalier Microphone Clip for Apple, iPhone, iPad, and Android. And this is going for $16.49, again, on Amazon. Okay. I actually use this one because it really isolates the sound when I am walking on the beach or walk in nature, because it's a one-directional microphone. It just picks up my sound. And the one that's a little bit higher in price, it's the Audio-Technica Lavalier Microphone. This is also for smartphones. Unfortunately, this is not for iPads or iPhones. But if you have a high-powered DSLR, like a Nikon or a Canon, this will also work with them. And this is going for $21.57. Again, that's the Audio-Technica Lavalier Microphone.
Yeah, I'll definitely be sure to link to all
these. Are the three. Yes. I will also have this on my website. I will have a site on my website where you can actually go there and look at all the low-cost equipment that you're going to use to create the perfect video for you.
Sounds great, so, Ernesto.
Yeah, so now that's just for the sound. Now for the video, you do not have to invest in a DSLR camera like a Nikon or Canon. If you have that, that's great. But if anyone nowadays, even a five-year-old kid, have an iPhone or an iPad. So like you and I talked about before the podcast, everybody has a computer nowadays and iPads and cell phones, and those cell phones and iPads and computers are coming up now with really high-powered HD cameras. That's all you need.
Yeah, it's amazing how the technology's just advanced so quickly, especially with smartphones. I mean, we were talking about that right before we got on, right? Like, you see those billboards with shot on an iPhone 6, and it's like this massive, like, beautiful picture.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing what the next generation of cameras are going to be doing. Now there's going to be cameras that are motion detectors on the new computers, PCs, and Macs that are coming out. Cameras can actually follow you if you're walking around the room.
Wow.
And it can actually focus on you. What the heck?
Right. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and so, you know, now with GoPros and all of that stuff, it's just evident that there's power in videos. You've got the drone, you've got GoPros, you've got your iPhone that is really becoming powerful means of just creating simple yet very powerful videos.
Hmm. So let me just take a step back because, you know, we have just a few minutes. So you need some kind of a mic, preferably a lavalier mic, and then you need some sort of a camera device. So that could either be your smartphone camera or it could be like a digital SLR. Are there any other like essential pieces that you need to create a good video?
Absolutely. Lighting. Okay, this is one thing that I do want to talk about before we go into software editing, lighting. You do not have to spend thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars on lighting. All you have to do is get close to a window. Use natural light. If you are filming in the dark or at night, get a lamp and put it close to your face. That is all you need. Position the camera where your window is right in front of you and your camera is also right in front of you. That's all you need. And so, especially if you are filming outdoors, it's better to film under a shade and where you are not looking directly into the sun so that you're not squinting. So lighting is very much a thing that is you need to consider when creating that perfect video.
Do you recommend, like, for natural light, is it better to do also like
absolutely
early in the morning, late in the afternoon, those kind of when there's
absolutely
more?
When I create promotional videos for therapists and they want to do something outdoors, I either plan at a 10 a.m. shoot or a 4 p.m. shoot. Mm-hmm. Never a 12 p.m. or a 2 o'clock because that's when the sun is blaring.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to create those unpleasant shadows all around you.
Absolutely. And then, you know, you don't want a therapist who's squinting throughout the whole video shoot. That just is not good video etiquette.
Ernesto, the last question that I wanted to ask you was if you could just think of like two practical tips when it comes to shooting video that a lot of times people may miss out on, but it's like a really important step when it comes to actually shooting that video.
Absolutely. So first one is know your message. Don't make anything up. Start from within. Know with what you know about your practice. So for instance, if you can connect with your client who was talking about their depression, you don't want to talk about your client and their depression, but you want to talk about depression. And you have to connect with your message. If you are in your EMDR training, newly EMDR, and you don't know so much of the concept, don't do a video about it. Wait until you are fully connected with that concept and with that approach, and then you do a video. So again, know your message, and start from what feels natural to you when you get in front of a camera. Don't recreate the wheel. So that's one. The other is embrace the imperfection or be authentic. I cannot stress enough how powerful this is. I did a Facebook question where, you know, what is engaging to you as far as video when you watch videos? And this was on my personal Facebook page. The number one thing that everybody wants to know about the therapist is that, are they human? You know, and I don't want them to be flashing their MFT, their license in my face, or the years of experience. I want to know, can they feel my pain? Are they able to help me? Do they have kids? Do they like dogs? Do they like hiking? Very personal stuff. And I think that is because they want a therapist who's authentic and genuine and human.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting, that second point especially. It's such a seismic shift in terms of like how we used to think about therapy and the role of a therapist.
Yeah, absolutely. I think gone are the days where we are so afraid to show our human side in the clinical room. I think a lot of modalities out there really encourage that to an extent, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, we have to have boundaries with our clients. However, I think the idea of being human, connecting with our humanness and our brokenness, is a very powerful way to engage with your clients.
Ernesto, thank you so much for doing this. What are the best ways that folks can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. So you can just go on my website if you are interested in having a newsletter where I send videos and tips on how to do videos. Just sign up on my newsletter, and it's located on my website, www.filmit.com. In February, I'm also launching an online course where it's going to teach you strategic ways on how to promote your video in the most efficient and effective way. So that's going to be in February of next year. So basically, just visit my website, sign up for my newsletter, and you're good to go. You will have a lot of the things that I put out there are free content for you to create the perfect video for you.
Ernesto, thank you so much for all that you do for our field, and I'm super excited about your course that's coming out.
Thank you so much, and I'm so honored. And Melvin, I got to tell you this, that you know, I've been watching and listening to everything that you're doing, and you are doing some phenomenal work in our community of mental health practitioners. Thank you, too.
Take good care.
Hey, what's up? Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Ernesto. Man, that session was packed full of really great information. I think there were a couple of things that I was taking away. One is that just the technology part, that in this day and age, something as easy as a smartphone, you can use that and to create some really awesome video, even if you've never created one before. And then the other thing I was taking away was this connection between having video on a website, YouTube, and then search engine rankings. You know, I think we often forget that after Google, which is the number one search engine, YouTube is actually the number two search engine, and YouTube is owned by Google. And so there's this connection that those two companies have with one another. You know, the final thing I was also taking away was just when Ernesto talked about that fear and normalizing that fear of getting in front of the camera. I love some of the tips that he shared. You can find show notes to today's episode at sellingthecouch.com/session42. If you've made a video and for your private practice website or are thinking about it, or if this session has motivated you to create a video like it has for me, please come over to the Facebook group, the Selling the Couch Facebook community group. It's a really thriving community. Please share it with us. We would love to encourage you and support you on your private practice journey. Take good care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.